Hello there. My name is Cheryl, and you are listening to the Jedi Fangirl Podcast. Well, welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. Again, so we're starting off with these first few episodes discussing all 11 of the Star Wars live action movies in chronological order. So last week we started with episode 1, Phantom Menace. Today we are going to continue on with that by talking about Attack of the Clones, episode 2. So just wanted to give you a little introduction there. Again, we'll get into some of the recent Star Wars news here at the end after we discuss the movie. So let's go ahead and get started. All right, well, today we are talking about Attack of the Clones. This is episode 2 in the Skywalker saga. So, guys, I recorded this segment already, once already, and I played it back, I listened to it, and I came to the conclusion that I say the word interesting far, far too much. So I decided to try to re-record, so we'll see how this goes. I'm also trying to not say and try not to pause as much. So honestly, we're just going to see how this goes. It may be better. It may be worse. Let's find out. So again, Attack of the Clones, episode 2. This is the second movie in the Skywalker saga, if you are watching it in chronological order. This one came out in 2002. It was 3 years after The Phantom Menace, which came out in 1999. It was written and directed by George Lucas, who directed all of the episodes 1 through 6. So the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy are all directed by George Lucas. So let's talk about this. So this movie, Attack of the Clones, I remember when it first came out. And I even remember when they first announced the name of Attack of the Clones. And people did not like it. It just sounds silly. Clones? What? I don't know. It's also not liked, I think, because some people don't like the script. People think Lucas did a weird job. It's kind of cheesy. People don't like the dialogue between Anakin and Padme, which I agree can get kind of cheesy and kind of weird at times. I don't know if people just have a problem with the name or if they don't like the clones storyline in general. I actually like the storyline of the clones. This movie, episode 2, leads into the Clone Wars TV series, which all of which takes place between episodes 2 and 3. And I think Clone Wars is definitely a very interesting watch, especially if you are into the prequels, if you are into all of the stuff with the clones and Obi-Wan and Anakin, then I think it's a good watch. It's, for me, it's been kind of difficult to get through just because some of the episodes always seem like, hey, this is happening on this planet. We are at war and we need to go and fix things. And that's kind of just the general structure of all of the episodes. And I don't know. It's hard for me to get into, but there are aspects of it I enjoy, and I do want to see all of it. So I'm trying to push my way through, and I'm getting some things out of it. I'm going to kind of keep going and see what I get, but it's good. It's worth a watch. So one thing I think is cool is the personalities of the different clones, and this is not something that you get to see at all from the movies, but the clones themselves actually have very different personalities. They're all made from the same person, from Jango Fett, but they definitely are very different. And you get to see that in the Clone Wars. You get to see they have different haircuts. They dress differently. Some of them have tattoos that the other ones don't have. And it's kind of cool. So definitely, again, I would say watch Clone Wars if you get the chance. It's worth a watch. Something else from the Clone Wars that you don't see as much in the movies is two of the clones are leaders in the clone army, Rex and Cody. And Rex is kind of the leader, commander, captain. I think one is a commander, one is a captain, and I don't know which one is which. But Rex works more with Anakin, and Cody works more with Obi-Wan. And you get to see another element there. It kind of adds something to the interaction with the clones. And there's some relationships, even with Ahsoka Tano, who, if you're not familiar, Ahsoka Tano is first introduced in the Clone Wars movie that is supposedly comes before the Clone Wars TV show. It kind of came out to introduce the Clone Wars TV show. And it's kind of cheesy. The storyline is kind of goofy, but it's also worth a watch. You know, I just kind of feel like you got to get it all. And Ahsoka ends up becoming Anakin's Padawan. And it's kind of weird and it's kind of frustrating to me that she almost never features in any of the movies. She's a big character in the story because she has a relationship with Anakin, obviously. I mean, you don't get to see that Anakin actually trained a Padawan unless you are watching the Clone Wars. And I mean, why are we missing out on that? That's kind of a big deal. And she only is ever involved in any of the movies in Rise of Skywalker. In that last scene, I hope you've seen Rise of Skywalker at this point. If you haven't, then turn the podcast off because this is totally going to be a spoiler. So spoiler alert, stop now if you haven't seen Rise of Skywalker. But at the end of the movie, when Rey is fighting the Emperor and he says, you know, I'm all the Sith. And she's standing there and she starts to hear these voices. And, you know, they're all like this, like this Rey cheering squad. You can do it, Rey, blah, blah, blah. And one of the voices that you hear, they're all Jedi. And they're Jedi from the past. And every one of them is some Jedi that's been in movies or even TV shows. And you do hear Ahsoka's voice. So that's literally the only time she's ever even mentioned in any of the movies. And that's kind of sad because she's a big part of the Clone Wars TV series, Rebels TV series. She's in the books. She's got a book about her. And she was freaking Darth Vader's, Anakin's Padawan. And, you know, you'd think she'd be in the movies more. But she's not. And I kind of got off on a tangent with that. So, but she's got a relationship with, I think it's Rex. She ends up having some interactions with Rex. And there's a lot to this TV show. So watch it. Not here to talk about Clone Wars today. I'm here to talk about Attack of the Clones. So let's try to get back on track. But another thing about Attack of the Clones, you get your first introduction to Boba Fett. So Boba Fett obviously was this character in the original trilogy. And he was an interesting character, but you don't get to know that much about him. He has kind of a small role. People still kind of fell in love with him. Boba Fett's got a lot of fans out there. And you never really know that much about him from the original trilogy. But if you go back and you watch Attack of the Clones and even Revenge of the Sith, you get to know a little bit more about Boba Fett and where he came from. He's actually a clone. He is a clone of Jango Fett, who he considers his father. He was made at the same time as the clone troopers. The only difference is that he doesn't have the same programming, and he was not made with an accelerated rate of growth like the rest of the clone troopers. So he basically just grew up from a kid. Like, he just grew up as Jango's son. So he's got kind of an interesting background story, and I like that. I think that's cool. So that's, you know, something else about the Attack of the Clones. Now, what are the other things I like about this movie? So this is our first introduction to the Anakin and Padme relationship as adults. Obviously, they meet in Phantom Menace, but especially Anakin. They're both kids. I mean, Padme is only like 14 when she was queen, but Anakin's only like 10, so it's not really the adult relationship that you get to see in this movie and in episode 3. But this movie is your first introduction to that. So it's kind of our first exposure to seeing Luke and Leia's parents and their relationship, their romance, what they went through. So I think that that's cool. Another character that is introduced in this movie is Count Dooku. And we don't get to see a lot of him, I feel like. I mean, yeah, he's a big villain in the next, in this movie and the one that comes after it. But he has a lot of backstory as well. And you don't get to see all of that. He is mentioned that he used to be a Jedi. I think it's also mentioned that he was Qui-Gon Jinn's former master as a Jedi. But what happened there? I mean, obviously there's some background. How did he turn to the dark side? What's his story? But he's a cool character. He is somebody that I would like to know more about. And in reading the books, I'm kind of learning a little bit more about him. He's mentioned a bit in Master and Apprentice, which I'll talk more about later in the podcast. But so Count Dooku is a good part of Attack of the Clones that I'm glad we get to see him in there. So the big thing about this movie is that this is Anakin's ascent or descent into darkness. This is kind of the beginning. So you start to see how he is as an adult. You start to see how he is as a Padawan to Obi-Wan. You see that he is having some frustration with the Jedi Council and even with his Jedi Master as well. He doesn't like how the Jedi Council doesn't seem to recognize his power, and Obi-Wan doesn't seem to recognize his power enough to let him grow, and he's frustrated, so you get to see that feeling. He also in this movie starts to have feelings for Padme that he realizes are romantic feelings, and he's frustrated because the Jedi Council does not want Jedis to feel is kind of the vibe that I get. There's emotion is a bad thing because, you know, fear leads to the dark side ultimately. And so they're kind of against feeling emotion. And one thing that I think is interesting is there's this whole talk of Anakin being the chosen one and the chosen one will bring balance to the Force. Well, what does that mean? I feel like we're never really given exactly what that means. I think to me it's interesting. And one way that I could look at it as Anakin being the chosen one and being chosen to bring balance is that he comes in as a Jedi and he's got all these feelings. He's got all these emotions that Jedi are not supposed to have. And one way that I could see it supposedly going is that he brings balance to the Force because he does have emotion. And he shows the Jedi that it's not bad. It's not about not feeling emotion. It's about what you do with it when you feel it. When you feel fear, when you feel anger, when you feel love. They don't have to be bad things. You just have to approach them correctly. And I feel like that could be one way that Anakin brings balance. I mean, in the end, does he do that? I don't know. But so that's just kind of my thoughts on that. I think the whole balance to the Force concept is not questionable, but I think it's ambiguous. We never, I feel like, really get to know what it exactly means. So, but Anakin's descent into the darkness is, it's just fascinating. He's such a fascinating character to me. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But somebody else that I think is a great character in Attack of the Clones is Obi-Wan. And going back to this book that I talked about in the last podcast, Master and Apprentice, it's a newer Star Wars canon novel that came out that is written by Claudia Gray. And it takes place before The Phantom Menace. It's about when Obi-Wan was a Padawan to Qui-Gon Jinn. And I love that Padawan-Jedi Master relationship. I just, it's fascinating to me. I started to say interesting again and I caught myself, so I got to come up with some new synonyms. But in that book, you get to see how Obi-Wan is as a Padawan, and you get to see that he is just trying to be himself and to also be a Jedi. He only has, I mean, not only, but his biggest influence as to what a Jedi should be, as to what a Jedi should look like, is his master, Qui-Gon. And he's not Qui-Gon, and they approach things differently. So it's cool to see how that relationship flows as he tries to be the right Jedi. And when I say that, I just mean, you know, it's like anybody, and you're in school, you want to please your teacher. So it's, that relationship is neat to see. And then in Attack of the Clones, you get to see how that translates from Obi-Wan being a Padawan himself into becoming a Jedi Master and being a master for Anakin, who is also very different from him. So I just find that really cool how you can see the differences in the Jedi and see how they do things differently, but there are good things about that. Each one might be more effective in one thing versus the other. So another book that is good to read that I really enjoyed was the novelization for Revenge of the Sith. It gives you an even deeper view of the Anakin and Obi-Wan relationship as Padawan to Master. And what I love about the novels is that when you're watching a movie, you get to see what the characters do. And when you are reading a book, you get to see what is behind what they do. You get to understand their thoughts. You get to read their thoughts. And Revenge of the Sith is the biggest example of that that I've seen. It really goes into a lot of detail about what the characters are thinking. And you get to see a lot of what Anakin is thinking and what Obi-Wan is thinking and what Padme is thinking. And it's almost too much. When you start reading the book, or at least when I started reading it, it's like, wow, this is just so much detail. I don't know if I can make it through all of this, but I kept reading and it just gets really good. It's really cool to see. It's a lot of information. It's a lot of insight into those relationships. And I love that. So again, talking about the different characters, and I think the character of Anakin is absolutely fascinating. You get to see a lot more of Anakin as Anakin and his feelings than you ever get to see as far as Vader and what's behind the mask. We see Anakin grow up and we see him have these feelings for Padme. We see his issues with the Jedi Council and with Obi-Wan and his conflictedness regarding his mother and regarding the Emperor and Padme's death and just all of these things that we get to see about his feelings and what he goes through. And we don't get to see any of that after he becomes Darth Vader. Darth Vader becomes like this black box, I mean, so to speak, this enigma behind this mask. And I'm sure he's still feeling a lot of these things. You know, he's missing Padme. He had kids that he thought were on the way, or a kid that he thought was on the way. He doesn't have any idea that there's two of them until later on in the original trilogy. And you don't get to see any of that with him as Vader. He's literally just a villain. And he's obviously a very complicated villain underneath the mask. But he represents evil, and that's really all we get to find out about him in the original trilogy until, you know, we find out that Luke is his son, and we get to see a little bit more of that towards the end. But I would love to know more about what goes on behind the mask of Vader. Like, what's going on in his head? What's he thinking? What's he feeling? Is, you know, I feel like there's a lot of anger there to do what he does, but I would love to see more of that. So anyway, I think Anakin is just a really interesting character, and he's one of my favorites. So another thing that I actually really like about Attack of the Clones, something that was really cool and We get to see Yoda with a lightsaber. So if you remember and think back to the original trilogy, up to this point, we've only seen Yoda as, in the original trilogy, we saw him as basically this old man, kind of a goofy character, training Luke in the ways of the Force. So we got to see that. But then we get to see in The Phantom Menace, he's on the Jedi Council. We get to see a little bit of, you know, what that's like. But we never get to see him fight up until this point. And it's really cool. I remember watching it in the theater, and he goes into the room with Count Dooku, and he kind of hobbles in with his little cane. And then all of a sudden you see him reach into his robe, and he pulls out a lightsaber, and he just starts going crazy with it. And everybody in the theater, when I watched that the first time, was just cheering. And I remember it just being so cool, and I was so excited about it. So that's, you know, from somebody that saw this movie when it first came out, that's something that got me excited. So I still love that part of the movie. It's still fun to see Yoda go crazy with a lightsaber. So those are some of my thoughts on Attack of the Clones. I really love the prequels. I know there's people that just think that they're not good. And I think people are starting to kind of see the benefit of them and to kind of get something out of them a little bit more. And I love that. I love it that people are starting to see, you know, the importance of this story, the Anakin's backstory. And there's just so much there. And I'm glad that people are starting to see that. But okay, so a couple more things before I wrap up this discussion of Attack of the Clones. I put a call out on Twitter to kind of find out what other people are thinking about the movie. So let me go through some of the tweets that I got in reply about people's thoughts about Attack of the Clones. We have from Star Wars Sessions podcast that it gets more flack than necessary. It's fun. It does have its cringe moments, but there's some amazing moments in it with good comedy and saga defining moments. Perfect? No, but nothing is. So let's all just enjoy it. I would definitely agree with that. Definitely some saga defining moments in there, especially as a part of the prequels, obviously. So thanks for your comments there. Also from Charlie Skywalker at D Blake Jr. 7. It's Star Wars, what's not to love? Definitely agree with that. Cringy in spots, sure, but each movie has those. Yes, they do. I think if we all were to go back to the 80s somehow and rewatch the original trilogy from that point of view, there's cringy moments in there. I mean, C-3PO and R2-D2, some of their dialogue is just stuff that if we hadn't seen it a million times, I'm sure that we would think that it was cringy as well. So Michael Condon at Tombed 2 says, I watched it a few days ago. I talk smack about it, but I like it. I think the prequels get a lot of smack talk, and I think that that comes from people that are still watching them over and over again. So I think that that smack talk is the kind of smack talk that you give something that you love, even if it does have its cringy moments, like we've said. From Journey to Life Debt at Celebration at Bloody Orme on Twitter. Even though it's my least favorite, I still really enjoy it. Some classic moments, and I love Obi-Wan's detective story. And who hasn't said the sand line at least once when at the beach? Yes, very true. That sand line gets repeated a lot. I think that was one of the more cringy lines. But, you know, when I was at Celebration in 2017 and Hayden Christensen was a guest there, I know there were people that were actually having him sign jars of sand. So too funny. And I know also, I'm sure he got a lot of comments about that line when he was meeting with people. So let's see. Also, Benjamin Akers at Chintzy Beatnik. I've always been a firm believer that I still love my least favorite of the Star Wars movies much more than pretty much any other movie out there. That is so true. I can go back to these movies, almost any of them, again and again, and just watch them over and over. Anytime I'm somewhere,
I mean, everything I stream pretty much on TV, so I don't have cable or anything. But if I'm somewhere that does have it and the TV's on and I see that Star Wars is on, it just, any of the movies just suck me in. So I would definitely agree with that. Let's see what else. Oh, Across the Stars. Yes, very classic song from all of John Williams' great music in these movies. I really also, this is from Palpatine's Star Wars page at Darth Sidious 33. I really like how even though you can already see Anakin falling to the dark side, he's still a good person and Padme sees through his darkness and falls in love. Yes, I love that. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, I think the character of Anakin Skywalker is just such a fascinating character. And yeah, he's falling to the dark side and you can tell that that's coming, but he battles with it so much. It's such an internal struggle that it's just so, such a interesting thing to see. I was really trying to not say interesting again there, but I did it. So, all right. Well, those are some of the comments that I got about Attack of the Clones. So thanks for all of your feedback, guys. I really appreciate that. One more thing to mention related to Attack of the Clones. This is kind of some breaking news that I just got today. Podcast is coming out tomorrow morning, so you guys will hear all of this tomorrow morning. If you don't already know, I kind of wanted to mention this on here, but I mentioned last week in my podcast about how Ewan McGregor is going to be coming to Ace Comic Con in Boston in March. And I think I even also mentioned how I was hoping that they would get Hayden as well. And sure enough, today they announced it. Hayden is coming as well. So they have those dual photo ops that I'm super excited about with Anakin and Obi-Wan. I mean, Jedi fangirl, you know, it's my dream. Two Jedi. I mean, it just doesn't really get much better than that. So that was kind of what sealed the deal for me. I was looking for that to decide whether or not I wanted to go, and I am planning on being there. So I hope that some of you that are listening are also going to join in the fun as well. So I hope to meet some of you there. But yes, I will definitely be in Boston in March for Ace Comic Con. So looking forward to it. Hoping to see some other cool guest announcements coming up from them in the coming weeks. But I wanted to go ahead and announce that. So again, thanks for all your feedback. So next week, we are going to be talking about Revenge of the Sith, which is actually my favorite out of all of the prequel movies. So I'm sure I'll have a lot to say about that one, especially having read the novelization, like I said earlier. If you have any thoughts on Revenge of the Sith, or if you just want to give me some feedback on any of this podcast episode or the previous one, go ahead and go out to my Anchor page. Go to anchor.fm/Jedi-fangirl. And click on the message button and you can leave me a voice message and I might include it in the podcast. And also, if you don't feel like doing that, don't want to leave a voice message, you can also email me, send an email to Cheryl, Sheryl, at JediFangirl.com. So I'd love to hear your thoughts. So please let me know what you think. We're going to come back here in just a second. I've got some current Star Wars news from this week. So we'll get into that here in just a second in this next segment. Let's talk about what is the latest in Star Wars news this week. So today's Tuesday when I'm recording this, the Oscars, our Academy Award nominees, have been announced. And there's a few Star Wars related things to cover there. So first, Rian Johnson, who directed The Last Jedi episode 8, he also directed and wrote the movie Knives Out, and that movie came out this year, and it's been nominated for a Best Original Screenplay Award. I've actually seen Knives Out, and I really, really liked it, so definitely go check that out if you get a chance. It's been nominated for an Oscar, so might want to find out more about it. Also, The Rise of Skywalker, Episode 9, has been nominated for 3 awards. It's been nominated in the visual effects category. It's been nominated for original score.
the score by John Williams, of course. And it's been nominated for sound editing. So our movie did pop up there on the Oscars for some nominations. So also, some more news. It was announced this week, the novelization of The Rise of Skywalker, which, of course, after all me talking about all of these books and reading the Star Wars books, you know I'll be wanting to get it as soon as it comes out. But the novelization for episode 9 was scheduled to be released on March 3rd, and now it's been pushed back a couple weeks. It will now be released on March 17th. So put that date on your calendars, check it out if you get the chance to go out and grab it. Let's see what else. Also in Star Wars books, there's a comic series called The Rise of Kylo Ren. It has been selling out, actually. There's been 2 issues. Issue number 2, I think, was released just last week. And issue number 1 is out as well. And it's been selling out. It's very popular. But you can still find it on Amazon and download the digital version. I've read both of them. They're short. I mean, obviously, they're comic book length. So they're pretty short. But it's interesting. I'm curious to see where it goes. It's nice to see a little bit of the background about Ben Solo and how he became Kylo Ren, which so far is what the series is covering. So if you're able to, go check that out as well. Download maybe the digital version. It's pretty easy. So, all right. I think that is it as far as news that I can think of for this week. If I missed anything, let me know. I always like hearing from everyone. Again, go visit my website. It's JediFangirl.com. I talked some in the podcast about Master and Apprentice, the book by Claudia Gray, and I read that this week, and I wrote a review of it, and it's up on my website, so go to JediFangirl.com and check that out. Also, there is a link there. If you go and click in the menu on podcast, we'll take you to the page for this podcast, and you can send me a voice message. Also, you can use my contact page on Jedi Fangirl to send me an email and just give me your feedback. Let me know what you think. And also, definitely weigh in on Revenge of the Sith, because that is what we're going to be talking about next week on the podcast, episode 3, the final episode in the prequel trilogy. So let me know your thoughts on that. And I think that's it for this week. So thank you for tuning in. Thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it. And as always, may the Force be with you.